You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are ours. Father, that we can come before you because you have paved the way, that you have called us. Father, you have saved us. You have brought redemption, Lord, to our hearts through your Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd be here this morning. Father, that you would fill us with the knowledge and understanding of all that you are and all that we have to be grateful for. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Awesome. You may be seated. And I'll call out a bunch of verses. Now, we're going to hit a lot of verses. I'm going to suggest you don't try to turn to all of them. And the reason is because, like I said, we're going to do probably the most Bible verses I've done in a long time. But here's the thing. We want to make sure that the points that I make are biblically founded. So jot them down. You can turn to them. If you're good at getting to your Bible books quickly, go ahead. But I would just highly recommend you jot them down, and they'll be on the screen. Of course, the first verse that I'm going to hit is 1 John 4:16. And you could start there if you would like. But our message this morning is for Mother's Day. And I've entitled our message, Love is a Three-Letter Word. And you'll see why I posted that. You get the idea right off the bat. But let's pray one more time before we dig in. Father God, Lord, once again, we ask that you would be here in our midst, that you would teach us, and that we would hear from you. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher, and we want to yield. Give us ears to hear. And thank you for our moms. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, God is love. Now, I want to make this clear. It's not that God is loving, although he is. The Bible says that God is love. He's the very essence of love. He is all that encompasses love. And we know this. God is a three-letter word. So in a sense, God is love. Love is a three-letter word. But although this message is about moms, we also know that mom is a three-letter word. And so, by the way, so is dad. And we're going to see that all of these encompass a unique love, each one in its own uniqueness. Now, men, don't tune out. Don't say, oh, this is for moms, Mother's Day. Listen, if I were to ask you, how many of you here were born to parents? Yeah. And I'm going to guess, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that probably one of those parents was a mom. And hopefully I was right in that, unless you were a test tube baby. I don't think we have any of those. So we understand that that we all have moms. Some of us have sisters. Some of us has daughters, aunts, grandmas. Well, all of these ladies encompass all that there is to be a mom. Now, we also know this. Jesus taught us that moms are important. You're like, whoa, 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 hold on. I never recall there being a verse in the Bible that said Jesus taught us that moms were important. Well, do me a favor. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 19. Excuse me. John 19. In John 19, verse 25 through 27, it says this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And he said to his disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, this is pretty miraculous. Why? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is hanging upon a cross. He has been beaten beyond recognition. He is experiencing for the first time in all eternity separation from the Father. He is taking on the full weight of every sin ever committed. He's taking it upon himself. And in all that turmoil and in all that difficulty, all he can do is think about, hey, I got to take care of my mama. Wow. I don't know about you, but most people, when they are in a tragic situation, the last thing they do is think about other people. They're usually be like, you know, most men would be up there, mama, help me, mama, get me down from your mama, especially if you're a mama's boy. But Jesus doesn't cry out for help from his mama. He cries out and says, woman, behold your son. John, behold your mom. In other words, take care of my mama. Mama, I want to make sure you're taken care of. And by the way, do you realize that Mary is the only woman in history when she said, he's such a good boy, that she could actually be telling the truth? Every other mother who says, oh, he's such a good boy. No, you're lying. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one good, no, not one, except Jesus. So Mary could say that. But think about this. The Lord Jesus didn't tell John, hey, take Mary as your mom and don't forget to pray to her. He never said that. And notice Mary doesn't say, hey, you know what? I'm the mother of God, Jesus. I can take care of myself. Why? Because, listen, though Mary was truly blessed among women, and she was still just a woman. The blessing came that she is the only woman in all of history to give birth to the Messiah. That's how she is favored among women. But she could not save herself. She needed, not only did she need John to help take care of her, but she needed Jesus to save her from herself, just as we do. So, Jesus points out, hey, moms are important. He's on the cross, and he's saying, hey, take care of my mom. That tells us that's an important thing. So let's do this. Let's establish what is a mom. What is a mother? Well, the definition for mother is a biological and or social female parent of offspring. And I thought to myself, wow, what a great Mother's Day card that would make, right? Happy biological and or social female parent of offspring day. I love you. That's the technical term. That's the definition. But we understand. We laugh. Why? Because we recognize there is so much more to mama, to mommy, to mom than that. More than parents of offspring. Just listen. Just having a baby makes someone a parent, but it doesn't make them a mom or a dad. Unfortunately, in this life, there are many who have babies and never, ever love like a mom or love like a dad. So there's more to it than that. I like what Sidney J. Harris says. The commonest fallacy among women is to think that simply having children makes them a mother, which is as absurd as believing that having a piano makes one a musician. Look, anyone can become a parent, but to be a mom is much like becoming a musician. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes getting to know the fine tuning of your child's personality. It's to have that eternal love for the position and the calling and the appointing of mom. Now, there's another definition for mom, and that's a woman who does the work of 20, but does it for free. That's a mom. What an incredible, listen, guys, ladies and brothers and sisters, what an incredible venture motherhood is. Listen, Jesus says over in John 16, here's how Jesus describes it in verse 21. He says, a woman When she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. See, Jesus says what we all know. A woman, man, especially the first baby, a woman is very apprehensive. I hear, you know, it's going to be painful, it's going to be horrible, it's going to be awful, but I want a baby. And then the woman goes through this horrific birth pains. But as soon as she sees the baby, she looks at her husband and says, oh, can we have another one? It's like, I just saw what you went through. You know, and what gets me are when they show these birthing movies, you know, it's like Fetal Attraction or something. It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It's beautiful. But for a man goes, I would never do that. Count me out. But that's because God has placed in woman a special kind of love. I'm not saying men don't know how to love, but we love differently. And we'll talk about that here momentarily. But love is a three-letter word. Why? God is love, and guess what? So is mom. And by the way, so is dad. But let's take a few minutes to look at motherhood from a rational, humanly rational perspective. If we were to rationalize motherhood, it's a cause for pause. Why would anyone want to embark on such a venture? The venture of motherhood. Why? It appears to be a hazardous situation. It does. You take a fragile, defenseless little being and thrust them into the hands of two people who haven't a clue what they're doing. It's true. To have a baby, to become a mom and dad, you don't need any experience, no credentials, no instructions, no training classes. You know, when I had my first child, they had, I don't know if they still have it, they had a class called Lamaze. They still have that? Okay. Well, they had that. And I thought it was racing classes, you know, the 24 hours of Lamaze. I was like, I love this. I'm going to get to drive a car really fast. And then I found out, no. It's Lamaze. And it's basically counteracting the pain of childbirth through rhythmic breathing. And I go, oh, okay, not quite as exciting as, you know, I had rhythmic breathing as I thought I was going to drive a race car. But there's no mental exam to verify your sanity or your competence in raising a child. None whatsoever. In order to deem you responsible and capable of raising a little life. No approval needed, no licensing, no certificate. Yet, to operate a car, you must be of the appropriate age. You must take both a written and a driving test to be authorized to maneuver a vehicle. But to shape a life, you can obtain it. Anyone can obtain it anytime, anywhere. What does it require? Well, just the most basic understanding of the mechanics of procreation. That's all that's required. And oh, the baby arrives, and the two people involved are immediately promoted to parent, to mom and dad. Age, intellect, finances, not a factor. The baby is coming. And what about the baby? The baby is unwilling to be born. The baby is thrust into this world against it. The baby was quite content with the womb without a view. I had to do it. But ladies, the risk to your health, to your fortune, to your future, and unfortunately, in some instances, even your temporary happiness can be affected. Not to mention, and we haven't even begun to talk about the 9 months of carrying a baby. You know, it blows my mind when women will get pregnant out here in the desert. And what I mean by that is, you know, being pregnant and uncomfortable when it's 130 out, that's pretty difficult. Don't tell me women are weak. But look at the side effects. the waistline, the extra weight, the clothing. How about the dreaded stretch marks? Oh, hey, and then the baby comes, and then there's those sleepless nights, right? You ever have walk up to someone, you say, hey, how'd you sleep? Oh, like a baby. What? So you woke up every hour hungry with the mess in your pants? You don't sleep like a baby. A baby doesn't sleep. But eventually a baby develops normal sleeping habits. It will. But as soon as the baby seems to get into a system, it's like, oh, okay, the baby's sleeping now. Oh, 8 hours, 10 hours. Then teething. Yeah, got some mamas in there. Then after teething, the terrible twos. Oh, which pale in comparison to the terrible teens. Oh, gosh. We got some teenagers in here, I'm sorry. Listen, if you desire to be rich, having babies is not the way to go about it. Listen, kids are expensive. Childcare, groceries, clothing, gift giving, bigger home, bigger vehicle, education, recreation, additional insurance, healthcare, and all the miscellaneous. In fact, the USDA in 2012 estimated that it will cost the average parent to raise a child till they're 18. Unfortunately, some parents go way beyond 18. But it will cost the average parent $241,000 to raise a child till they're 18. That was in 2012. If you add inflation, we're probably looking closer to $300,000 to raise one child. That's based on a middle-income family. That does not include college. That could be upwards to a couple of $100,000. So ladies, happy Mother's Day. Listen, that's if you look at being a mother from a rational worldview. You know what's missing out of that? Love. Love. Listen, if you look at just the facts, put motherhood down on paper, it seems illogical for anyone to ever enter into the venture of motherhood. But when you add love, it becomes totally rational, totally logical. Why? Because love never looks at cost. It never does. Love doesn't count the cost. Love throws caution to the wind. That's why Jesus says, no greater love has a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Mom, you have laid down your lives for your kids. That's a beautiful thing. Very, very beautiful thing. See, love is what? People say this. Love is blind. Thank you, one person. The rest of you don't know because you're blind. No. Love is what? Blind. Thank you. Yeah. Now, 1 Corinthians Chapter 1, verse 27 says this. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Why? Love may seem foolish on the outside. If you put motherhood on a piece of paper, it looks foolish until you add love, and then it becomes totally logical. I don't care what it costs. I don't care about the pain. I don't care about the sleepless nights. Just so long as I have my little baby. Now, do you realize the same reason that a woman will give birth to have the love of a child is the same reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross so that we would have new birth? The flip side of that is the same reason why someone will reject Jesus Christ. They reject Jesus Christ because their love is blind too. They love sin. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practices evil, hates light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done in God. That they have been done in God. You see, the world rejects Jesus Christ because they love their sin. That's the only reason. Not for a lack of proof or evidence or any of those things. Listen, next time you're sharing Christ with someone, save yourself some trouble. Ask him this one question. If If I were able to prove to you that God was real, would you worship him? If they can't answer that, and I'll tell you, most of the time they'll say, no, I don't want to. That tells you it doesn't matter what you prove. Listen, I can't tell you how many arguments, debates I've won with atheists, and they still don't believe. Why? Because it's got to be a move of God's Spirit. They have to begin to hate their sin and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the cost is insignificant. The sins they have to depart with mean nothing at all. Now, we're going to create quite a few parallels between a mother's love and Jesus's love as we go through this. See, looking and calculating worldly wisdom perspective, to have a child seems foolish. To embark on parenthood seems foolish. To embark on motherhood defies all logic. But not when you add love to the mix. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You mean Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, went to the cross so that I would be saved. Even if it was just you, or if it was just I, or if it was just us, Jesus still would have done it. Why? Because that seems illogical. Why? Well, because he was motivated not by logic, but by love. And Jesus goes on, listen, over in John 16:21, he says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, here you go, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For Jesus, the cross was pain and suffering. For a mom, pregnancy is pain and suffering. There is stress, there is sorrow, leading up to the actual labor. Remember Jesus in the garden? In Luke 22:44, it tells us, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat became like great droplets of blood falling to the ground. And I've told you before, that's the hematidrosis, capillaries burst. But here's the thing. Over in Mark 14:16, it tells us that Peter was warming his hands by the fire, which means it was a very cold night out. So get this. Jesus is under such stress over what he's going to have to endure. Even though it's cold out, he is sweating. The hematite, there's droplets of sweat mingled with blood. You ever been in a delivery room? It's freezing cold in there. And the mom is sweating bullets because of the agony. So similar, the agony of giving new birth between a woman and her pregnancy and Christ being pregnant with sinners, as he prepares to take on all our sin. Oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Oh, the joy that is set before her, she will endure the birth of her child. Just as a mother endures the pain in anticipation of the wonderment of receiving the newborn baby into her arms, Jesus Christ, and the wonderment of giving new birth to you and I so that we can be embraced by him. Jesus endured the cross in order to hold new believers in his arm. Listen, think about Mary for a second, right? The mother of Jesus. There was intense agony as she suffered the pain of birth to the one who would suffer the pain of new birth for her. Huh, irony in that. She gives birth to the one who's going to suffer for her sins. Ladies, you can relate. You can relate to this Christ-like love in a way that us men can't. You really can. Psalm 127:3 says this, behold, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Your children are your reward, just as it is God's reward. Now, I'm not saying it's not a man's reward, but we don't understand. We don't understand. Because we've never had a baby moving inside of us. You have. We've never had a baby relying upon us for its nutrients, feeling what we feel, hearing what we hear. We've never experienced that. And so, ladies, you have a special connection with Christ. Now, we try to understand. We do. We'll put our hand on our wife's belly and feel the baby kick, and we're like, ooh, that's cool. But we don't know what it's like on the inside. Have a baby, a life in there. And, or what about this? Let's say you haven't had a baby. You have a girlfriend, you have a fiance, or maybe you're newly married. And what do women say? My biological clock is ticking. And the guy goes, really? I can't hear it. I'll tell you what. If that clock ever breaks, call me. I'll try and fix it. That's about as far as we go. We don't understand this. Clock is ticking. Biological clock. Women yearn in their heart for children. When little girls are little girls, you play with the doll, anticipating one day that doll will be real and it'll be your child. Guys don't do that. Hey, Johnny, you want to play with some dolls? We're not anticipating that. We're anticipating shooting each other, beating each other up, and chasing each other on bikes while girls are playing with little dolls and changing its diapers. And the more realistic, the better. See, God has set that in your heart. It's unique. And listen, it's hard for us men to understand because we're big babies all by ourselves. That's why God said in Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. Why? Because he's a big baby. We are. Let alone you add another baby in the house and now we're competing for mama. That's just one reason why God created marriage, by the way. God created the beauty of unity out of the beauty of unity. I love that. God created Adam, and then from Adam, he created woman. And then out of that, they become one again to create a child. See, God is creative, and he's created us in his image, and therefore, on a small scale, we get to be a part of the creation process. And by the way, there are some churches that shy away from the topic of sex. I want you to know something. It was God's idea. He thought it up. He put all the nerve endings where the nerve endings are. He made it spectacular for marriage. The problem is we come in and we mess it all up. And we apply it in other ways and pervert what God meant to be beautiful and powerful and an illustration of creation and oneness in a marriage. And the unity of two people for life. But God created, and you know, in all of God's creation, God's created some pretty beautiful things. Sunsets and oceans and some creatures, some birds, beautiful peacocks with all the colors. But I'll tell you, I challenge you to find something more beautiful than a woman. Impossible. The creation of mom, the creation of woman. And we'll explore that. See, it takes a man and a woman to illustrate God's love. Together, a man and woman encapsulate the many facets of God's love. It's God's complex love. You see, Christ is both lamb and lion. Do you realize that? Listen, as a man, I'm all lion. I got no lamb in me. I'm sorry, man, there's none of that in me. My wife, she's a lamb. She's soft. But me, I'm all lion. Listen, if I am a lamb, ever am a lamb, I'm Lambo, okay? But Jesus Christ is both lion and lamb. And it takes husband and wife to produce that same kind of nurturing and power. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6 says this. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, excuse me, has prevailed to open the scroll and loosen the seven seals. Okay, so who did he say was going to do it? A lion. And he says this, verse 6. And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Why? Because Jesus is both lion and he is lamb. With mom and dad, you have both. You have strength and compassion. You have protector and nurturer. We're created in his image. But it takes both husband and wife, man and woman, to complete the fullness of God's love in those aspects. And so we become both lion and lamb within the marriage. And so God said, hey, it's not good for a man to be alone. He needs the part that's missing, the wife. And wife, you need the part that's missing, husband. And both of you need the part that's missing, salvation through Jesus Christ. And that makes the complete picture. And see, man being a lion, being the strong, a man with his hands will build a house. He can build a home. But it takes a woman with her heart and her love to make a house a home. To bring its beauty and bring the sweet fragrances. Men add fragrances that we don't want to talk about. What I mean is they work hard and they get sweaty. What are you thinking about? You had to go there, didn't you? But there's huge differences, folks, in the way that men and women love. And you're like, Pastor Randy, you figured that out on your own? Yes, I did. Women give themselves to love. Men inadvertently fall in love. But do you realize that every relationship on this earth, every relationship is a picture of God's love? Here's what I mean by that. The father-son relationship is a picture of God the Father and God the Son. It's a picture of us and being adopted as his son. Husband and wife. Remember in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, hey, the husband love your wife, wives submit. And he says, I'm not talking about husband and wife. I'm talking about Christ and the church. Brother and sister. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. My sisters, if they're born again, if my sisters get saved, they are first my brother and sister, or my kids get saved, or my wife, well, my kids are saved, some of them. And my wife, she is first my sister in the Lord. Or brother and sister in the Lord. How about this? Friend to friend. Jesus says, you are my friends. Huh. Or how about servant master? Jesus Christ is the master, and we are his servants. That also goes over into the employer-employee. All these relationships depict our relationship with God. Do you realize even you and your pet, that relationship, Jesus Christ is the shepherd and we are the sheep. So even in that relationship. And so God gave us this unity of husband and wife, man and woman. He made women so spectacularly awesome. You know, he could have designed childbearing to take place a completely different way. You could go over to Star Nursery over there and find a pod, and your wife leaves her egg on Saturday and say, honey, you got to go over there someday this week. Okay, I'll go on lunch tomorrow. And you go over there and you pollinate, if you know what I mean, the plant. And then you come back a week later and there's a pod. And you peel it open and there's a baby. Ta-da! It's like, oh boy, that wasn't that fun. But God made it uniquely beautiful within the marriage for two people to come together in a very, very unique way and create new life. God lets us have a small part in that. And God is love. Three-letter word. But there are so many multifaceted layers to how God loves. And amongst you women, there's the love of a mother. There's a love of a wife. There's a love of a sister. There's a love of a daughter. See, all women are beautiful. You all are. You know what's interesting? Men. Here's what we do. I've heard a man come up to another man and say, you know what? You married out of your league. And I'm thinking, oh, really? So was there ever a time you went up to a guy and said, dude, you're way too good for her? Because that's a bigger problem right there. Listen, every guy has married out of his league. Every guy. Because women are beautiful. Men are ogres. We're hairy, belching ogres. Adam, when he saw Eve, he took one look at her and he said, whoa, man. Why? Because she's beautiful. And it's stuck, by the way. That's why you're called woman. Because, whoa, man. every man has married out of his league, because women are a beautiful creation created by God. In all of his creation, I dare you to find something more beautiful than woman. You can't. You can't. And then what happens with a mom? A mom has unconditional love for her children. Listen, a dad does too, but there's something special. Let me prove it to you. You ever been at a crime scene? Well, hopefully not, but well, maybe on the news, okay? On the news, they'll come up and they'll say, okay, you know, Billy Bob just, you know, massacred 50 people and his mom's here. We're going to interview her. Oh, Billy Bob was the sweetest boy. He never hurt anyone, blah, blah, blah. Why? Because mama is 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that's a mom for her children. Love never fails. Now, the father may still love his boy, but he'll come out, they'll interview the dad, and he'll go, yep, I never knew that boy would mount to a hill of beans. I told him many times. Lion, lamb. Nurture, protector. But there's also this facet. See, God's love is perfect. It's perfect. Mom's love isn't always perfect. Like that example I just gave you about Billy Bob. Thinking, you know, the best. Oh, listen, that's wonderful. But what happens is some moms will enable their children to live in such a way that is detrimental to them. Listen, enabling is never God. In fact, over in Proverbs 3:12, God says this, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Some moms will not discipline their kids. In fact, sometimes their kids become adults and the mom still isn't dealing with the sin and the irresponsibility of their children's lives. You see, that's the balance of God. God knows when to discipline and he knows when to let things go. Some moms, even some dads, will enable their children to dwell in sin. And even worse is when mom and dad put their children before their spouse. Not good. The Bible says, you know, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. That means your kids. One day, my kids grew up and they went and married someone. The parents that put their kids before their spouse will then stick their noses in their children's lives and want to control. Not good. Not good. God has created a hierarchy that works in the family. God, husband, mom, children, relatives out here, friends further out. Some people have that upside down. Some people have children, God, friends, relatives, husband, or wife. It's not good. It has to be in that order. Why? God knows how to balance a family, and balance is beautiful. But mom, y'all are awesome. Flaws and all, your unconditional love. The fact that the first finger that I ever grabbed onto when I was a baby was my mama's finger. She wiped my nose when it was runny, and other parts of me when they were runny. When no one else would. No one else wanted to. There's a beautiful poem. It says, a mother's love begins before a child is born and lasts through time, difficulties, and differences. And many wounds and days of joy, days of sorrow, winding, wearing, weeping, sharing, changing. Until at the end, what remains is that solid core that began as love before the child was born. You see, that's it. You know, young ladies play with dolls, anticipating one day that doll would be real and it would be something that grew inside them and that they could nurture and it was their child. See, they prepare. And just like God was in love with you and I before we were even born, God had a plan. He said, one day, there would be Randy Castillo. And boy, will everyone regret that. No. He loved me even before I was born. And so did my mom, even before I was born. You see a woman who's pregnant, and she is so proud that she's got a baby on the way. Because it is beautiful. It really is. You know, some people will show the delivery, you know, in the delivery room. Listen, it's cool. It's beautiful. But, man, I want to see it. It's like fetal attraction. It's like... But Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says this: before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Or how about Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14? For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Listen, the miracle of birth, the miracle of woman, the miracle of mom is a special gift from God. We try. We try to understand, but we'll never understand how a mother can eat and the baby eats what the mother eats. If a mom listens to music, the baby... You know, Desiree was in her mom's belly and used to come when I'd be singing and doing shows, and she'd go nuts in there. And now she leads worship for the Lord. Because a baby is influenced, even in the belly. It's connected to the mama in a special, special way. That's why I encourage you, if you're pregnant, read the Bible to your baby. Play worship music for your baby. It's an awesome thing. John 16, verse 21 and 22. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Just as a mother endures the pain, so did Jesus Christ. The mother endures the pain with anticipation of the wonderment of the newborn baby in her arm, much like Jesus enduring the pain for the newborn believer to be embraced. A mom no longer remembers the pain. A woman give birth and go, can we have another? Really? A man would never say that. Oh, well, you know, Pastor, I understand what it's like. No, you don't. Maybe if you passed a watermelon through your urinary tract, you would. Then tell me you understand what it's like, but you don't. But a woman no longer, and you know what? Just as a woman no longer remembers the anguish and pain of birth, just as Jesus no longer remembers our sin. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sin and their iniquity I shall remember no more. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as he has removed our transgression from us. You see, all the pain that we caused Jesus Christ on the cross, Jesus will never remember that. He just remembers that he loves you and he loves me, and it makes it all worth it. Just like a mom. Mom never goes, you know the pain you caused? Well, some moms may do that. The pain you caused me? Moms, don't ever say, I brought you into this world, I could take you out. Don't do that. But a mom doesn't look at sacrifice. A mom doesn't count the cost. You know what love does? Love doesn't count the cost. You know what love does? Love gives. That's what love does. Love just simply gives. My mom, excuse me, a great example of this. My mom was a excellent, consummate entertainer, singing, dancing. She'd do shows in Vegas, Reno, Tahoe, all over the place. Incredible. And because she was a true professional, she was very, very, very busy. And I remember my sisters and I, we would have to stay at my Tia Mela's house. And I remember Tia Mela because that song was very popular at that time. Guantalamela, Guajira, Guantalamela. And so I'd walk around the house singing that to my Tia Mela. It's like, Guantalamela. She's like, shut up. I was like, Guantalamela. Anyways. But one day, my mom was going to go on a world tour. And my dad said to her, Josie, you have a huge decision to make. And she goes, why? Well, we're already gone most of the weeks that the kids have to stay with Tia Mela. But imagine now you're going to be gone for months at a time. That means someone else is going to raise our kids. So, Josie, we're going to have to decide. He left it up to her. You're going to have to decide whether you want the career or you want to raise your kids. I never saw my mom again. No, Josie. No, thank God. She chose us kids. My mom gave up her dream for her children. And, you know, she never threw that in our face. She never said, oh, the things I gave up for you. And she never did that. She just simply loved us. And, you know, she taught me. She taught me that there is something more important than fame, something more important than money, something more important. It's called love. Amen. My mom gave up her dream, but she received God's promise. You know, I venture to think that if my mom had not made the choice, I probably wouldn't be a pastor today. And so I thank my mom for what she has done, what she has instilled in me. But on the flip side, a mother's love also can seem quite tragic. It can. E. Rich Fromm said this, the mother-child relationship is a paradox, in a sense, tragic. It requires the most intense love on a mother's side, yet this very love must help the child grow away from the mother and become fully independent. Your baby's first step is the first step away from its mom. It's that preparation that one day that first step will lead to steps out of the home, into its own marriage, into its own life. If anyone understood this concept, it would be Mary. What a beautiful example. She received Christ, and then she presented him to the world. Listen, she knew she had to let go. She knew that one day he was going to bear the sins of the world. God had told her that. Her baby's first step was the first step to the cross. But you know what I love as Christians? When we become born again, every step we take in our Christian walk is one step closer to home. See, only in God's economy, only in God's economy do we get closer instead of further. But in this human life, everything gets further, further and further and further. So the mom-child relationship, beautiful, yet quite painful at times. The sorrow of birth, the sorrow of the child growing, the sorrow of the departure one day. Now, on the departure, mom takes a new role. The role of giving advice and guiding the child into adulthood. A great example of this is Proverbs 31. You can turn there if you'd like. Proverbs 31 is the final stage of a mother. See, Proverbs 31 is a mom's advice to her son, her desire for him. This is Bathsheba. If you remember, David committed adultery with her, but she became his wife after Uriah died, killed. And she gives birth to David's son, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live. And she gives him words of wisdom. You know, every mother wants her son to meet a good woman. Not as much as a son wants to meet a good woman. That's a whole other story. But every mother wants her son to meet a good woman. And here we have the wisdom of a mother caring about her son. And what this mother knows, what Bathsheba knows, is that behind every good man is a great woman. And I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe, men, if you are doing good, if you're doing good, you have a great woman behind you. Or beside you, excuse me. We're not Muslim. Oh, gosh, did I say that out loud? I did. Huh? I did say that out loud. Okay, Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 12. Wow. Proverbs 31. He who finds a virtuous wife, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. That's a mother's desire for her son, that he would find a virtuous woman. And that's the desire as well for every father, that his daughter would find a man who's looking for a virtuous woman, not a wild woman. Men, your mom, your sister, your bride are created with a different kind of love. And we need to try to understand them. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. Men, dwell with your wives with understanding. Not because you understand them, but with some semblance of understanding. The sooner you and I get this, the sooner you understand, it doesn't matter what woman you marry, you've married out of your league. The sooner you get this, the sooner you can have God's plan fulfilled in your life. And men, the sooner you understand that women love differently than you, that you are a lion, she's a lamb, the better off you'll be. You know, there's a country singer, his name is Steve Warner. It's not a Christian song, but I love the lyrics talking about the way a woman loves. Listen to this. It's called A Woman Loves. A woman loves beyond her question and dreams beyond her doubt. Her heart will lead and she will follow even when there's no way out. Her eyes refuse to see the danger as she walks right through the fire. A man may give himself to passion and desire, but a woman loves. And that is every woman in this room. Some soon to be moms, some dreaming of being moms, some already have been moms and now are grandmoms. Listen, you are precious. You are valuable. You are unique. You're beautiful. I like what one mom said. This is a quote from a mom. She said this: being a full-time mother is one of the highest salary jobs in my field since the payment is pure love. I love that. So y'all, call your mama. Tell her thank you for the pain that you've caused and the sleepless nights and the worry and the concern. And if you are a mom here today, God bless you for your unconditional love and that sweetness that is you. Listen, love is a three-letter word. God, mom. Both three letters, both encapsulate love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for moms, we thank you for that gift. We thank you for all that you do through our moms and the life that we had, the nurturing, the guidance, the care. And now, Lord, may we honor our moms. May we honor you as we honor our moms. Your word says, Lord, that we are to honor our father and mother. And so let us not neglect that. Let us honor the ones who are due honor, and those are our moms, our dads, our family. And thank you for allowing us to set aside one day to recognize that beautiful gift. May we never take it for granted, but may we hold our moms dear, valuable. May we recognize all that they've gone through for us to be here. And so, Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that all of us have taken something home. And, Lord, I don't know. Maybe if there's someone here who's never surrendered to you, never been reborn, to know, to have that correlation between Christ and the cross and mothers and birth, that maybe today is the day someone would surrender their heart to you and know that unconditional love that can only come through rebirth. And so, Lord, we love you. We honor you and we thank you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,